Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't shot, you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
I'm so happy to be here with you the day after the memorial, the big Memorial Day weekend. I had a wonderful weekend. I hope yours was. Not only did we pay tribute to our fallen soldiers who gave their last full measure for our freedom, died in battle, died on the battlefield or giving service to this country. It's hard to get your brain around that, the people willing to die for our freedom. And yet, I don't know, there are some in this country that don't appreciate it as I wish they would. I have so much to get to today. You're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1, and it's spouting off because you're better off when you're spouting off. Today is Tuesday, May 29th, 2018. And it's an interesting day for me personally and for the country. It's John F. Kennedy's birthday, Bob Hope's birthday. And interestingly enough, my mother, may she rest in peace, her birthday. She always made it a point to tell me or to tell people that she was born on JFK's birthday. And yes, she was a Democrat. However, today, if you just listen to any of JFK's speeches, John F. Kennedy, you will hear a decidedly familiar kind of ideology, which sounds right of center. That's because the entire political calendar, that's the wrong way to put it, has moved to the left. So today, JFK would be a conservative. He was, I'm not going to go into it, but I've said it before, probably. He was fiscally conservative. He would never have supported unvetted, unfettered illegal immigration with terrorists. He was anti-communist. He believed in fiscal responsibility and lower taxes. Sounds pretty conservative, or certainly right of center to me. So a couple of things I'm simply going to mention because I got a lot I want to get to. And we have a wonderful guest, Karen Strawn, who is from Canada and has a wonderful website called A Voice for Men. That'll give you a hint of what we're going to talk about today. I'm loaded for bear on this subject. And I'm going to set it up and then I'm going to talk to Karen, who I've had the pleasure to interview on AM Talk Radio here in Colorado. And she's a wonderful guest. We're going to talk about my upcoming project, which is still in development. If you would like to call in after I get to it and tell me what you think or what you don't think, or if you don't like it or anything else on your mind, you can call toll free 888-627-6008. Or direct 323-744-4831. So Bernie Sanders is actually thinking of running again, which I think is hilarious. I don't have much to say about it. I hope he does. I hope he does. And I hope that the country, after a couple of years, actually by then it'll be four, of Donald Trump turning this country around and helping people who aren't as politically involved as you and I, helping them understand why communism is a bad thing. Unfortunately, we've been asleep at the switch, and a good many of our millennials and other people who've been taught and marinated in socialism and communism and big statism in public school simply don't think that communism is a dirty word anymore. So Sanders is an avowed socialist, and we need somebody to debate him. It's fascinating that Hillary's gotten a pass in that the great number of Sanders supporters have been very muted in their response to the fact that Hillary Clinton and the entire Clinton machine cheated him out of the nomination. That isn't to say he would have won for sure, but it is to say she definitely cheated in a massive way. And yet the left just keeps on keeping their mouths shut about their criminal in chief. Excuse me. If you're watching the deep state gate, if you're watching Spygate, I like to say that I could spend 4 hours talking about that. Not that I have every detail perfect. I don't. But the basic information is something that you got to keep watching. I think that we're coming to the point where we're unfolding a whole lot to do with the deep state gate, spy gate. It is, as I like to say, a gnarly, gnarly tree with many, many branches. And all of it is out there in the open. It's just that the mainstream media won't report it. So if you look, you don't have to dig very far and you can see what's really going on. And it's just beginning to crackle in the mainstream media. And you got to love it. They're finally admitting that maybe the opposition did spy on Donald Trump, but they did it for his own good. They really think we're idiots. And unfortunately, a good many of their, was I going to say that? People who still are supporting the left after the amount of hypocrisy is scary. So, got one more topic to kind of comment on before we get to some of the basics on the Me Too movement. And Karen Strawn will join us after our commercial break. Roseanne Barr was, her show was canceled this morning at press time. So if you want to know what was happening when this podcast hits your neck of the woods, we are taping live on May 29th, John F. Kennedy's birthday. And Roseanne Barr, her show was canceled. Now, I do not in any way condone what she said. I'm not even going to repeat it. But she said something offensive. Big deal. Well, it is a big deal to the moral dictators in our world who have never, ever been bothered by the level of hypocrisy that they put out there. Every single day. Every single day. So she said something horrible, terrible, and awful about Valerie Jarrett. Now, the interesting thing is, if she likened her to African or a gorilla or whatever, just the mere mention of that in the same breath, and it's worse than, God forbid, murder or any other crime. Well, it's not a crime to be stupid. It's not a crime to be offensive. It's not even really a crime to be racist. But in the leftist universe, it is. My question, as I said, I don't condone those things. I don't talk that way. I don't even think that way. I'm sure that the left would say that I do, because they would like to brand every white person or conservative as a racist. We're supposed to just admit that because that's really the only politics they have. You disagree with me, therefore you're a racist. To me, that's bigotry, pure and simple. But my question is, how come they always get to be horrified and appalled while they're being horrifying and appalling? How come they always get to be horrified and appalled while they're being horrified and appalling whenever they want to be? I mean, I couldn't begin to give you a list of the amount of horrifying, appalling, hateful, bigoted, and ugly things the left simply condones because they're liberals and because their liberals said something. Well, they're the first ones to step up and say, well, she didn't mean that. What he really meant was, the double standard is breathtaking. It's breathtaking. Let me Let me ask you something else. Why does the left get to complain about censorship while they censor others? Why is that? They get to decide whether you have a right to say something stupid or say something racist. In my opinion, frankly, they've made racism so out of fashion, and I'm happy to see racism out of fashion, that a person would get their own comeuppance in this culture without them being separated from their livelihood. I mean, the left has no end to the amount of lack of due process. If they don't like something you said, they're going to shut you down, and they want to destroy you, pure and simple. Why does the left get to complain about haters when they hate others with such a vengeance? Why is that? Why does the left get to claim the moral high ground while trashing our culture and demeaning the very people they claim to care so much about? I mean, their hypocrisy is breathtaking. One more. They get to be sensitive to offenses. They get to be like hothouse flowers when they hear something they don't like. But they are allowed to be as offensive and ugly, and they get to riot in the streets, and they get to, and they're victims. So they get to get a pass on all manner of the ugliest, nastiest behavior ever, right? They can be as offensive and nasty as they want to be, because they're on the right side and the left agrees with them. Therefore, if they want to be photographed with a bloody head of the President of the United States, that's okay, right? It's stunning. It's stunning. They trash our culture and then tell us that they're offended. This stuff makes me crazy. Is there equality? No. Is there tolerance on their part? Not even. Is there a diversity of opinion? Heck no. When they do something, they say, well, it's just comedy. Have a sense of humor. But if a comedian says something they don't like, that person is dead to them, professionally and every other way. So, and that actually leads right into what I wanted to talk about. Believe it or not, that was all preamble. I have friends who say, quit preambling and get to the point. Actually, that was all just a little bit of commentary on stuff that's happening now. Well, I've been thinking for weeks. If you've listened to any of my previous shows, you know that I've been thinking quite a lot about the so-called Me Too movement. It is fatally flawed, just fatally flawed. It bothers me tremendously because my new favorite word is called discernment. I may have said this before. There's no discernment. There's no difference between, in the Me Too movement, there's no difference between rape, which is a horrible, terrible crime, and a guy who's kind of awkward, trying to make a pass at a girl, maybe trying to date her in the workplace. God forbid. How could anybody even try that? It's bizarre that if the woman's interested, it's not sexual harassment. But if the woman isn't interested, she doesn't have the guts to speak up, she calls it sexual harassment. These are all very subjective things. And I would submit that even the term or the accusation of sexual harassment is extremely subjective. Rape, on the other hand, is clear. Sexual assault is also clear because it involves physical contact. But yet, the left, if you may remember, almost a year ago, September, my very first show of Spouting Off, I talked a lot about how the left likes to broaden definitions so they can capture more and more people in their net. So now it's a sexual harassment and a crime simply to say a woman looks nice in a skirt. Well, number one, that's micromanaging personal relationships. I'm not for that. I don't like when the left or any politician tries to micromanage personal relationships. We are adults. Being an adult is a challenge. There's lots of challenges to being adult. One of them is to speak up for yourself. Those are one of the things you got to do. If you're being assaulted, God forbid, or a man has committed a sexual crime and you are the victim of that crime, that's a whole different kettle of fish. I wrote a book about being sexualized as a child. That is the dividing line. Children. It's up to adults to protect children. Children cannot make those determinations about being objectified. But yet the left turns it upside down. They themselves tend to sexually objectify children and then claim sexual harassment as adults. I think the left is living upside down. That's what I think. I think they tend to get it backwards and upside down and everything about practically every issue. So no discernment, no due process, one size fits all, prescriptions in personal relationships that ought to be left up to adults to work it out. If a man refuses to work it out and he's hounding you, if he's, what's the word? Can't think of the word. When somebody is stalking you, that's a different story. But use your mouth, use your voice. That's what adulthood is all about. It's not a crime to be awkward with women. It's not a crime to make a pass at a woman. It's not even a crime to look a woman upside down in an offensive way. And believe it or not, that is what I wrote my book about. My book, Fatlash, Food Police and the Fear of Thin, is about my experience being sexualized as a child in child beauty pageants and being put on stage. It's ironic that now, after so many years of therapy and everything else, I recognize what sexualizing a woman or sexualizing a child is all about. Yes, do women get sexualized? Yes. Is it part of the adult challenge to figure out what you want to do about that? Yes. It's harder when you've been sexualized as a child because no one taught you those boundaries. Now we have a situation where adults act like children and children act like adults. Very, very damaging to the culture and damaging to male-female relationships. But that's another story. What we need to do is start a I hate that. That's so leftist. Start a conversation. No, what we need to do is for wise adult, probably conservative women to start talking sense about this war on men. We don't want to be a victim. The left wants to turn us all into victims. We want to be accountable. That's part of the joy of being an adult. If you're a person who never wants to be accountable for your behavior, you're a person who wants to remain a child. If you're a person who welcomes accountability, not only so you can learn, but so you can teach others in a sensible, wise way, then you don't want to be condescended to as a bird in a gilded cage, do you? If you're making accusations, false accusations of sexual harassment or, God forbid, rape, you ought to be held accountable to that. Do you want to win an office, win an award, win at the ballot box simply because you're a woman? No, because you want to win because you're the best, not simply because you have two X chromosomes. You want to speak up for yourself. You don't want to be a victim, and you don't want to be the same as a man. How about that? So, to me, it seems like it's up to conservatives, conservative women, because even conservative men are very, very worried about this topic. They're running as scared as when all of us to the right of center were being called racist, bigot, homophobe. The new one is misogynist. Well, we're the ones that need to stand up and say, I don't want to go back in a gilded cage. I don't want the government to speak up for me and tell me I'm a victim and I'm always right. I'm always, we have a situation in Colorado. I'm going to talk to Karen Strawn about this in a little coming up. We have a situation in Colorado and in a good many other state legislatures where the mere accusation of sexual harassment is met with the idea that that accuser is the victim. We never have anymore alleged victim, the alleged perpetrator. The minute an accusation is made, that person is called the victim. And this is happening in legislatures all over this country. Think about that. Lawmakers, people who actually make law, are railroading designated males out of the legislature, actually expelling them from the legislature because they themselves have decided they need to go. So that completely invalidates the votes of that person's constituents. So it takes away the vote, no due process, mind you, and it damages our democracy. It damages the rule of law. And when you have lawmakers who've weaponized this, it's time to be concerned. I found in total 11 states where accusations of sexual harassment were met with either the person being expelled out of the legislature without due process. In Colorado, that person was asked to resign after 4 hours. You think there was time to investigate? You think there was time to decide what the true facts in that case were? And then to add insult to injury, the person, his name is Steve Lebsack. He's gone underground because he was treated so poorly and shabbily by his fellow legislators. That's the case about which I am most familiar because I live and do work in both Colorado and Wyoming. Steve Lebsack, awkwardly, probably not the best, tried to defend himself. He tried to defend himself with a 28-page what they called a manifesto as to why he was not guilty. You know what they said? They said he was retaliating. He was expected to simply walk away with his tail between his legs and resign. The most embarrassing thing is that all but 9 Republicans voted to expel him. This happened after more than 100 years, and nobody stood up for that. For that guy, Steve Lebsack. Then there was a case in Arizona, a man by the name of Don Shooter. And I will get to the reason his last name is important. Don Shooter also railroaded out of the legislature, happened to be a Republican state senator. They had a hearing. They expelled him from the legislature. They took away the votes of the people that voted for him. I don't know all the details, but I have lots of legal documents because I've been in contact with his attorney. And my hope and prayer is that Don Shooter and Steve Lebsack, both who had the temerity to fight back, will join forces in some kind of a suit to figure out what's going on in this country. 9 other states, from Kentucky to North Carolina, also have had similar cases. In Oregon, the gentleman walked away and just resigned without a fight. Sounds typical in Arizona. My supposition, and I only have a few more minutes and we're going to get to our guest. My hunch, do I have facts to back this up? No. My hunch is that there is a top-down strategy happening all over this country, especially in battleground states where Democrats in high position, wherever they are, I don't know who they are, made sure to tell Democrats that they should go after men in state legislatures so that they could make this a midterm election issue. Why? Because women already vote more Democrat than men. I've said this before on this program. It's because men symbolize the very essence of self-reliance, of competition, of getting back up when you've been knocked down. Those are all free market capitalist ideas. Women, as a stereotype, I certainly don't fit the stereotype, and I know a lot of women who don't, tend to vote more emotionally. Emotionalism is the domain of the left. Don't worry about whether it works. Just do it. It makes us feel good. Don't worry whether it fits the rule of law, if it's rational, if it's sensible, if it even works. Makes me feel good. And, you know, we have to use other people's money to make ourselves feel generous. I could go on, obviously, and I won't. So I have a working title for this new project of mine because I think conservative women need to stand up. They need to show some sense and some common sense. I said that because we're the only ones who are going to, both locally and nationally. Women need to start standing up and saying that the so-called Me Too movement, are we for rape and sexual assault? Heck no. As a matter of fact, it demeans real crime, rape and sexual assault, when you call everything assault. And when you call someone a victim who got an untoward text, which happened in Colorado, somebody sent a text that was really kind of not very professional. Now, the person who received that text, who is probably engaging in similar activity, is called the victim. Really? Seriously? So, here's my working title. I would love your thoughts about this. If you get this, if you're listening to this on the podcast, if you listen to this later on, it's being taped and broadcast live May 29th, 2018. My working title is hashtag YesTosterone. I got to have some fun, right? Hashtag YesTosterone. I'm not sure that it captures everything I want it to capture. So I'm going to talk to Karen Strawn about that because she's been doing this a whole lot longer than I have. Meaning that we like strong, good men. We like our men strong. Strength doesn't mean abusive. Strength doesn't mean bullying. And male testosterone is a good thing. If you want the yin and the yang, you have to have the yin, don't you? It's ridiculous to think that we can feminize everything in this country and we will be in balance. No, even the New Agers know we've got to be in balance. And balance means the yin and the yang. The left has constantly bastardized this for political gain. It doesn't help men. It doesn't help women. I could go on. Oh, do I go on? But I'm gonna leave it there, so that we can take a little break. And when we come back from our break, I'm going to have the pleasure of interviewing Karen Strawn, chatting with her for the second time about some of the stuff she's up to. We'll take your calls in the last part of the interview if you care to. Otherwise, I get to ask her all the questions. So we'll have Karen Strawn when we come back. This is Karen Cataline, and I am Spouting Off here on Spouting Off on BBS Radio Station 1. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Hadley, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arnn, on the great principle of equality set forth by the Declaration of Independence.
The great Abraham Lincoln described the Constitution as a picture or frame of silver. built a guard to protect an apple of gold. This apple of gold was the Declaration of Independence and its principle of equal rights for all. This principle of equal rights, Lincoln said, clears the path for all, gives hope to all, and by consequence, enterprise and industry to all. There are many today who seek to limit or distort this great principle by employing a distorted definition of equality, an equality of condition or outcome, regardless how people live their lives. This distortion, if generally accepted, will lead to an America less prosperous and less free.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And we're happy to be back. This is Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off. Well, I am delighted to have with us Karen Strong. Strong. She is strong. I'll tell you, I've spoken with her. Is a spokesperson for Men's Rights Edmonton. We're talking to her, and she's all the way from in Canada, and a contributor to avoiceformen.com. She's a prominent men's rights advocate who came to public attention through her infamous YouTube channel called Girl Rights. What? She's a mother of several children, published writer of erotica novels, and oh, it's great to talk to you again, Karen Strawn. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Great. I'm having such a good time getting to know you a little bit and hoping that we can join forces on some of this. I think that there are people all over the country that are saying, wait a minute, me too? I'm not sure I'm down with that. Tell us, from your standpoint, why the Me Too movement you're not down with.
Well, I mean, you know, the whole thing started with Weinstein, right? Harvey Weinstein.
Uh-huh.
And Harvey Weinstein, you know, that whole expose that was published, I believe, in the New York Times, was it?
Or the New Yorker,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. But it involved like a month-long investigation into, you know, sealed settlements and non-disclosure agreements and payoffs. And there were all kinds of people who were essentially, you know, telling these investigative reporters, yes, you know, like this is what was going on. And so there was a lot of evidence there that substantiated the claims made by the women who were making them. And that's very, very much different from, and for a large media publication to essentially come out and say, this is what this guy did. You know, like, you have to realize that somebody like Weinstein could launch a defamation suit in a second. He's got that kind of money. I'm sure that they had to be plenty sure about the, you know, how substantiated the allegations were and how they worded them. But as things progressed with the Me Too movement, what you have now are individuals often on Twitter making accusations, you know, on their own behalf. Nobody's going to sue those people because a lot of the time the you know, so they're not afraid of being sued. They're not afraid of being disbelieved because you're not allowed to disbelieve anymore. And so
they're automatic victims.
Yeah, and you have this kind of a vigilantism going on, right? And you know, and like what you said, I don't think it involves it doesn't need to involve a top down order from, you know, sort of the DNC, you know, that let's use Me Too to unseat a bunch of Republicans or anything like that. All you need is people who are motivated to unseat certain politicians, whether, you know, and I hate to defend Al Franken because he was behind changing the law regarding, you know, the adjudication of sexual misconduct claims or sexual harassment claims for contract employees of military contractors. And that entire thing, he changed federal legislation by championing this woman, Jamie Lee Jones. You should read a Mother Jones article on that, which actually took the side of KBR, a military contractor, and said, yeah, they're probably innocent. And they were.
Has hell right? frozen over?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, this progressive reporter looked into things and said, yeah, this woman seems crazy, and I think KBR is innocent of wrongdoing. And then the law was changed so that this woman could sue KBR. She sued them for millions of dollars, and then she lost, and she was assigned their legal costs.
So let's go back to... you said top down. You don't think it could be top down because
well, it could be.
All you have to do is have it in for somebody.
It could be, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, this is the problem with weaponized systems of enforcement, right? When you actually privilege one party's, you know, the party when you privilege the accuser over the accused, okay. What you're going to do is incentivize accusations.
Sure.
When you essentially say we need to believe victims, and particularly victims who happen to be female, who are accusing men, and particularly men in positions of power, when you say that, then and that becomes sort of the standard, then what you're doing is you're incentivizing people to use that weaponized system for purposes other than justice, right? And, I mean, this goes all the way back to the Salem witch trials.
Sure.
I mean, you know, a lot of those accusations had nothing to do with somebody's cow's milk drying up or somebody's baby dying of some kind of pox. Mm-hmm. You know, they had to do with land disputes and broken engagement, you know, agreements and things like that, right? So it was a way of taking revenge on your neighbor who pissed you off, right? So it really doesn't need to be you don't need to put, you know, be wearing a tinfoil hat to think that this a system that privileges the accuser over the accused is just an open door to false accusations made for malicious purposes.
You make a wonderful point, but I've been watching the left, and you have too. In America for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you make of, do you think that applies to the fact that there are 11 states now across the country, probably more now, as I look and continue to investigate this, where there's a systematic expulsion of people they don't like so that they can change the makeup of the legislature and, and give political favors to the victim for coming forward. All kinds of really nasty stuff going on.
Oh yeah, might not even be organized. Might just be instinctive behavior. I mean, that's really the thing. You know, most of these things that occur in this way, right? Like the Salem witch trials. It doesn't involve a cabal of people sitting, you know, in a boardroom twirling their mustaches and going, wah ha 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 ha. you know, often it's just people acting, you know, they'll see one person got rid of some inconvenient politician in this way, and they're like, oh, I have a politician that I don't like, and I want to get rid of him. Yeah. Let's see if we can find some woman to accuse him. And
I got to get that. I just got to say, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, because you have so many wonderful things to say. But I just have to say that we have actual cases. You don't have to wear a tinfoil hat. Michael Bloomberg called every single one of the Colorado legislators on the Democrat side to make sure and to twist their arm to vote against a gun bill about, I don't know, 4 or 6 years ago, something like that. And it doesn't take that much. There really are people in rooms deciding how they're going to manipulate public opinion in a certain way.
Although I wouldn't call that a conspiracy. I'd call that somebody extorting his power.
It's a conspiracy either. But that's why, I mean, I concede this point. That's why we need to investigate. We have to investigate all of it. And find out where it's coming from, because we do know that there were a lot of meetings going on after Queen Hillary was not elected. What are we going to do now? Well, we're going to have the resist movement, and we're going to
We're not going to actually, you know, develop a platform that would be attractive to voters. What we're going to do is, like, you know, everything in our power to push for Trump's impeachment over charges that are spurious at best. You know, and
lump everybody
and
together,
scream
with
at the sky.
Yeah, cast a wide net so that a consensual one night event, even if Stormy Daniels, if the whole story is true, they can and have lumped Donald Trump together with Weinstein, and a million other people. Bill Cosby, for heaven's sake. They're calling that a Me Too case? That's what really got me. Bill Cosby, who drugged and raped women, is the same story to the left as a one-time event between adult, consensual adults, right? That's crazy. I'm sorry. Let me go back to how did you get. You know, I could go on and on, and I don't want to, because I want the listeners to hear how you, Karen Strawn, our guest, came to get to be a men's rights advocate.
Oh, well, you know, it is kind of a long story, but I'll shorten it. I'll give you the quick and dirty version. You know, I stumbled across the men's movement by accident. I saw a lot of things that they were bringing attention to that I didn't like. I have a father. I have an ex-husband who I care about. I have two sons and a daughter who I also care about. I want her to, you know, live in a world with functional men who aren't beaten down and marginalized. I want her to be able to marry somebody who is not a complete wreck because the culture destroyed him. So essentially that was what motivates me, you know, like, and every once in a while I get kind of demotivated on that. I get kind of discouraged and I think nothing's ever going to change. And when that happens, I put on my clinical hat and I take sort of a step back and I look at things through a microscope. As if they're in a petri dish, and try to figure out why things are going on the way they are. And that sort of intellectual clinical interest keeps me going until I get my passion back, I guess. So.
And what are some of the basic truths that you've come to as to why we're in the state we're in? A broad question, I know.
it is. Let's say women are just as aggressive as men. They just do it in ways that give them plausible deniability.
Mm-hmm.
Women are more aggressive in their close relationships than outside of them, and for men it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. They're less aggressive in their close relationships than outside of them. If women and men were treated exactly the same through the entire criminal justice process, from being stopped by police all the way up every step of the way to being convicted and sentenced to incarceration. There would probably be a 60-40 male-female prison population rather than the 95-5 that we have.
Wow.
We see women, we see men as the actors within our universe, and we see women as the substrate upon which women write their actions. Hmm. And therefore, when women are bad actors, we don't see them as actors. We see them as reacting to something, and therefore there are mitigating circumstances. Hmm. So when you're in particular, let me put it this way. Just because we're talking about Me Too and we're talking about the potential for abuse of false accusations, things like that. Okay, say I was angry with my boyfriend. And when I was angry with my boyfriend, I hit him over the head with a frying pan. And then I tied his hands behind his back and I threw him in the cellar. And I locked him down there for a couple of days until he was good and sorry. Okay. Mm. I have just committed a whole string of violent felonies, right? Kidnapping, illegal forcible confinement, illegal forcible restraint, assault and battery, right? All of those, right? I'm going to mm-hmm. prison for that, okay? Or, and this is what some women do, I could play let's you and him fight, and I could engage a male friend or a brother or, you know, a bunch of other men, and I could make some kind of accusation that would work those guys up into a state in which they were willing to do violence against my boyfriend. So I could have them come over to my house. I could have them rough my boyfriend up. They could throw him in the root cellar and lock him in there for a few days until he's good and sorry. And I would be guilty of all of those violent felonies plus conspiracy. Or I could dial 911 and say he hit me.
Hmm.
And then the police will come and do all of those things on my behalf, completely legitimated, and all I am technically guilty of is lying to the police.
And by
that's
proxy.
Almost never prosecuted.
It's very passive-aggressive, isn't it?
It's plausible deniability. And often, if the situation ends with there's not enough evidence to prosecute this guy, so we're going to let him go, or he goes to trial, but there wasn't enough evidence to convict him, I'm still seen as the victim. Unless there's overwhelming evidence that I lied, I will still be seen as the victim. I will not be pursued by the law for having lied.
Mm-hmm.
So it is literally a way to do violence against somebody.
Right.
To aggress against somebody with almost zero chance of any repercussions. And you'll still be seen as the victim. You might even still be in places like the UK, you might even have that 10,000 pounds of victim or rape survivor benefits that you get from the government. The government pays you to make an accusation of rape there.
So, I want to brainstorm with you for a bit because you've been at this for much longer than I have, although it has always bothered me in divorce courts, in settlements of divorces and other things that men are almost always discriminated against. It's mm-hmm. changing a little bit, but I don't particularly like when courts get so into people's personal lives. I mean, supposedly they have to in divorce court, but the bias has always been pretty awful. And men get a raw deal on a lot of family law situations.
Yes.
And we don't even have to go there because we all know and we've seen it. And I've seen it personally up close. So
yep.
To go back to my little germinating idea here, of developing either a hashtag or a way for more conservative women to speak up about men's rights and the fact that we do not want men to be emasculated by these ideologies, by the weaponization of these political agendas. We like our men strong. I ran it past you. Yes, testosterone, but it doesn't quite capture it. Can you think of a way? Maybe we're going to have to like brainstorm off air, but just off the top of your head, what can we do?
I think
to counter it.
Honestly, I think, you know, like conservatives in general are the only, and what I think we should do, you know, because I'm not really that conservative, you know, like I'm fiscally conservative, but I'm socially very liberal. But in terms of what we can do, I think that one of the things that needs to be done, because men's issues are really coming into their own, they're starting to become mainstream. There was a documentary put out by a former feminist who was essentially, she left feminism during the process of the three-year process of putting this two-hour documentary together about the men's rights movement.
What's her name?
Her name is Cassie J, and okay. Her film is called The Red Pill, and I'm in it, and a bunch of sort of fairly prominent and off many veterans who have been at sort of men's issues, dealing with men's issues for like 20, 30 years mm-hmm. or even more. So it's starting to actually come into the mainstream. People are starting to pay attention and calling for action. We even see politicians, Earl Earhart in, I think it's Georgia, you know, telling the university, the assembled university presidents, because he was at the head of the state education appropriations committee, that until they could guarantee to him that they were going to protect the due process rights of their students, they shouldn't come to him to talk about their budgets, because he just wasn't going to give them the time of day until they gave mm-hmm. him some kind of assurance. And so essentially we even see politicians. Almost all of the politicians who are interested in this are conservative. Philip Davies in the UK is a conservative member of parliament. He's very vocal on these issues. There are a few independent and conservative MPs yeah. and senators in Canada who are vocal on these issues. And down in this, like, I've been doing talk radio shows, AM talk radio,
yeah.
for the last 2 months. And, you know, maybe 6 to 10 a week. And they're all conservative, all of them.
Yeah, well, they are. And that's liberals can't do talk radio.
Well, but what needs to be done, what needs right. to be done, in my opinion, is because conservatives are very open to actually looking at these issues and uh-huh. examining them for what they are. And what needs to be done is the left needs to be advised, right, that if they're going to continue to ignore these issues, issues like the fact that Me Too has the potential to turn into a full-blown lynching culture, a full-blown Salem witch trials, where half the accusations have nothing to do with a sexual misconduct event, but more to do with, you know, a difference of political opinion, or I just don't like your face, or mm-hmm. I want to hurt you in some way, and this is the way to do it. Okay. I want to make a land grab.
We'll have to wrap this up. Unfortunately, but we have only a few minutes left.
We need to let the left know that the right are going to own these issues if they keep doing what they're doing. Right?
Excellent.
And there you go.
Can you say, I feel like, you know, we really could do a whole nother hour, and you don't have the time and neither do I, but I want to have you on again. We didn't really even touch on why you think, I have my ideas and I have a feeling we disagree and I love disagreement, but why, mm-hmm. you know, in a short little thing, can you say why you think that there's all this misandry, which is the hatred of men, this desire to emasculate men going on today and has been for some decades, really? Do you have a sense of why?
That is just too big a question. I think, you know, honestly, as men have become less directly necessary to women, so as, you know, women have been able to rely on government rather than on husbands and fathers, you know, that they don't need a man.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but to me, it's exactly the reverse. See, I think, and we'll have to talk some more, I think that's precisely why men are being pushed into being unimportant, because the left and the socialist, you can see socialism just burgeoning everywhere. The socialist ideal is for men to marry the government, not a man. And so it makes sense that the most... the greatest enemy of socialism, notwithstanding their ability, citizens' ability to defend themselves and citizens' ability to practice their religion as they see fit, is to be independent and self-sufficient and have a man who's going to protect you and allow you to thrive and not need the government.
This is why married women are more likely to vote conservative than single women.
Yes, precisely.
You know, absolutely. But I think it's kind of a chicken and egg feedback loop.
Yes.
Going on with that, because, you know, the more the government takes on, the less necessary individual men become to individual women,
and then you just have this cycle. Not long ago, we had that favorite phrase of the left, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle.
Yeah. Because now we have men saying, men going their own way, is MGTOW is the acronym, or MGTOW, they say a man needs a woman like a fish, like a bicycle needs a fish, and they're called misogynists.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Well, we've come full circle as far as, you know, I mean, there is something brewing and a backlash, if I can use that word, even though my book was called Fatlash. There is something brewing, and I think we need to compare notes. It's one of those things where you have to compare notes and learn from people like Karen Strawn, who's been doing this for a while. Karen, tell everybody how they can connect with you, read your luminous articles. You have a lot on YouTube.
Yes. Okay, so I have a blog called, and I can say it here, it's called owningyourshit.blogspot.com. And yeah, there you go.
Okay.
My YouTube channel, again, is Girl Writes What. I chose that username just as my general username back when I was writing dirty books for women. And it fits this career now, too, so.
Is that the idea? She said, what?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. What about your Twitter handle?
And you can, there are a whole bunch. If you just search my name, Karen Strawn, on YouTube, you'll probably find a whole bunch, maybe 10 or 12 lectures that I've given at events and at universities on these issues. So
okay.
Yeah.
And for folks out there, her name, Karen, spelled like mine, and then Straughan, the Irish spelling. Thank you so much for being with us, Karen. I would love to have you on again. We're going to compare some notes here. And for everyone else, that's all the time we have left for Spouting Off. This is Karen Cataline. Thank you, Doug, my producer, and HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. He's definitely a strong man. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.